and I'm familiar with the values and the trend and what books are trending up, as well as the relative scarcity index you spoke of with Gerber, one being the most common, 10 being the rarest. If a Gerber 10 means there's less than 5 known copies in existence, a Gerber 9 means there's known between 5 and 10 copies, and a Gerber 8 usually means between 11 and 50, or 20 and 50 copies. Most Canadian whites, like you suggested, are Gerber 8 and 9. There are Gerber 10s. So,
okay. Thank you very much, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Next to Stephen is Walter Doralia, the proprietor and owner of Big Feet Comics, and the person who really put this panel together and had the idea for this panel. He is, if you listen to him, he's not really an expert in a Captain Alcohol comic. He had a procedure last year, recently. That
last week again.
And he has
a retainer,
which talks him to talk differently than he usually does. So he's really doing a courageous thing for us here, taking a flyer at this. So thanks very much. And he's really, as a dealer and an owner, a real human being. If you get to, and they're very rare.
Normally, he sounds like James Earl Jones.
Yes.
No, thank you very much, and please excuse my speech. Ivan, Stephen, Jim, and myself are working on this Heritage Project. I'm kind of like the Ringo of the band. I'm just happy to be. I'm happy to be with these guys. They're doing great work, and our goal is to get the heritage of what our history of our comic books, let more Canadians know about this. This is so under the radar. This is so underrepresented in our history books, in our pop culture, and it's wrong. We all realize it's wrong. There's a beautiful, beautiful, rich history here, and we're trying to bring it really out to the forefront, to, you know, push it out into pop culture as much as we can. I comicbookdaily.com, Ivan does amazing weekly blogs on, he picks a subject and he talks about it, so I encourage everybody to go there. We're working on, I guess I could say it, in Niagara Falls in one of my shops. I'm really trying to get a little display on the Canadian whites, like a little museum. A lot of Americans, a lot of Europeans come into that town, and it's a great place to show off our heritage of our comic history. But that's a few months away still, but we're working towards that. And I'm excited to be here.
And it's a lot easier to get there than into our various basements.
Yes. Well said. Yeah,
well, that's very, very true.
Thanks, Walter.
Thank you.
Next to Walter is Robert Pingham. He is an animation writer, a storyboard writer, an eloquent humorist, and a very knowledgeable in terms of the whites and actually scanning Heidi images of many of the whites themselves. So we're very lucky to have Robert here.
Hello. I didn't realize I'd have to be eloquent as well. I should have brought my thesaurus. I kind of, like many of us, there was a book put out in the 70s around the time of Canada's 100th anniversary where all things Canadian were getting a lot of funding and getting excitement. And there was a book put out called The Great Canadian Whites by the future founders of Nelvana Animation Company, named after most famous character from the time period we're discussing. So that's where I was introduced to it and where a lot of us found out about it. And then over time, we realized there were many more companies from that time period putting out amazing comics and amazing characters. I also became great friends with Leo Bakel, who created Johnny Canuck, amongst many others. When I refer to Leo, I may say less because he changed his name and went into show business, doing a very unique act called Quick on the Draw, where he would, do jokes and stuff, but he would draw at an overhead projector while he talked and sort of create little drawing tricks and things like that. It was a very extraordinary act, and because no one could duplicate it, Les had no competition. And I don't think he did anyway. So I began to produce a documentary on Les. I have footage and interviews with him and his wife, Lucy, who was Lucille Lauren, who was a singer. Unfortunately, Les passed away, and the family asked me to hold off on working on anything, and life got in the way. So a few years passed, and I had about a year and a half ago, I started to return to this interest to try and get some projects off the ground and that sort of thing. And to my delight, suddenly there was a confluence of events that brought a whole bunch of people with like-minded interests and each of us with different pieces of the puzzle. So suddenly, I think none of us feel alone, like we're the only standard bearers. We can all bring some of this stuff to you and have this happen. So I have been scanning comics for a couple of projects, mostly just so I can read them at any time I want. Let's be honest, that's where it all starts. Leo's family has asked me to work on a biography of him, which I am starting some research for, and I am attempting to help where I can with some of the other projects and a book project that I haven't quite figured out where to take it yet. But speaking of fantastic projects, I think that you'll be very excited by some of what's going to come from the next two people on this panel.
Thank you very much, Robert. And Leo Backhol is the creator of one of the best well-known characters from the Canadian White period, and that's John A. Canuck. Let me please introduce now our first female on our panel, and a very important person because she is an associate producer for the documentary on Canadian White comic books by...
Lost Heroes.
Lost Heroes.
And Bill Pasco.
Will Pasco. Executive director. The person. Yeah. And she can talk about that, and she's a connected person in terms of the comic book scene in Toronto. So please, Hope.
Hi, I'm Hope Nicholson. As he said, I'm an associate producer on the upcoming documentary Lost Heroes. It'll be broadcast on Super Channel within the next few months, fingers crossed. We're just in post-production right now, but you know how that goes. Sometimes it takes forever. There's some postcards at the front, too, if you want like information on our social media and keep in touch. I try to share stories about Golden Age comics, but it's not just on the Whites, the project. It follows the history of the Canadian comic book superhero from the Whites period into the revival in the 1970s, where the great Canadian comic books and Captain Canuck and Cerebus and Northgard and Orb magazine and all those great things came out, and into the modern day and with, you know, other stuff that people are doing sometimes, like True Patriot and everything like that. And then I'll let Rachel... we have a project that me and Rachel want to announce, but I'd rather her be introduced first before we go into it. So.
And then next to Hope is Rachel Ritchie, who is a blog herself called Comic Book Syrup.
Maple Syrup. Comic Syrup.
Comic Syrup.
And she has been lucky enough to work on research at the archives in Ottawa of the Bell collection that's there. Please, Rachel.
Okay, so I'd like to just address what Rob said, that we're not alone anymore. There's six of us now, so that's awesome.
And more who aren't represented.
No, just teasing. There's at least seven.
Seven of us.
So there's that. And also, can I just say, working at the archives is like one of the best jobs I will ever have. So getting government money to look at comic books. Best job ever. But yeah, no, I write Comic Syrup, and I work as a researcher. I worked as a researcher for Lost Heroes, and kind of just...
Tremblay.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good. What else?
I don't know.
That was your big thing.
She also works at the Comic Book Lounge and has awesome recommendations for anyone who comes in.
Actually, recently I got offered a spot on Sequential, which is a Canadian news blog. So you should check that one out if you're interested in getting more interested into looking at stuff that's specifically Canadian. So I'll probably be posting stuff on that every now and again. Slowly I'm trying to build a collection to donate to the archives like John Bell did, and that's the only reason that there's a collection there to begin with, so that's also what I'm working on.
So,
yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
announcement.
Hey guys, we announced this yesterday at the Joe Schuster Awards. This is kind of like the second announcement of our latest project. Me, Rachel's, but of course we're happy to accept the help of everyone on this panel because everyone can contribute something. It's going to be great. We have been granted the exclusive rights to reprint Nell Bottom Northern Lights.
Oh, wow.
That most of anyone has ever seen them. Like, me and Rachel read the microfiche comics.
Yeah, get excited, guys, because this is, like, huge, okay? Like, you don't know how many years of struggle that has gone into, like, finally just this, like, this. And, like, how many tears I've cried, and how many... Well, mostly just tears.
It's the holy... for everyone on this panel, that this is the holy grail.
Yeah, and hopefully this is the start of something that could be really big.
So we also have postcards at the front. Since we just announced the project, there's no information really on our social media sites yet, but we're going to be starting a crowdfunding campaign to pay for the printing costs next month. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, if you guys want to talk about or tweet or blog about the project, we would like that.
We're going to like just promote the crap out of it.
Yeah. Oh, and we're getting like cool artists to do stuff for us. Mm-hmm. Like,
what kind of artists do you guys like?
Who's your favorite Canadian artist?
Jeff Lemire.
Yeah,
we'll get him.
We'll get him.
Yeah.
Try another one.
Richard Cumley.
We'll get him. Yeah. Get him. Yeah.
For sure.
Try another one.
He'll draw for anyone.
Sorry? Who?
Nathan Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get her, too.
We got her.
I was hoping you guys would say somebody that we actually probably already have.
Yeah.
Well, you've got Moran.
Francis,
man. Ramon Perez.
Ramon Perez, yeah. We got Ramon. We got Francis.
Di Templeton.
Probably.
Who?
Yeah.
Todd McFarlane. He just left the room.
Yeah,
right,
no.
Right before us.
He did take
Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
Todd.
Yeah. But anyways, yes. So keep on it. It's something so important, and I think that really, like, you guys will be ahead of the game by reading this because it's so unknown and it's so uncommon that, you know, like, you just will be ahead of the game. You need to see these, and they're beautiful comics. Yeah.
Rachel, I have a question. Do you plan on reproducing a new form of Tribe Comics with the new artist, rendering Nelvan in a new way? Like,
no.
Snow Queen and Alpha Flight? No.
I was...
Right now we have the rights to reprint, but not to create new content based on it. So okay. It's going to be just a reprint of the original stories from Tribe Adventure Comics 1 through 32?
31.
31, so the 32 was that weird British issue, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That was new Triumph Comics.
Yeah,
you know, it was the introduction of Mr. Monster. No.
No.
Solas and Black and White Compendium.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a compendium, a compilation per se in one book?
Exactly.
One hardcover book?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
I like the weird British one.
That's what the story art is.
It basically sums up everything that happened before, but it's still lovely. Dickle art.
Thanks very much. That's fantastic news. We really look forward to that. It's something that everybody's going to benefit from. Now we've only got about 30 minutes now before we have to vacate for the next presentation. So quickly, I just want to run through a history of these books so everybody gets to be familiar with them, and then we'll ask a couple more questions and then open it up for questions themselves, because that's the most valuable part of this presentation like this, and we've got great experts here that can contribute to that. Let me begin here just with a crazy to start. Actually, you must know one of the two biggest superheroes of the period, Nelvana, there, and Freelance. You could see them.
Can everybody hear Ivan okay, or did you want to speak into the mic?
Okay, thanks. Everything began with the Second World War in 1939, actually just a couple of days after England entered into it. And what followed from that was the Prime Minister of that time, which is Mackenzie King.
Mm-hmm.
And he, with his parliament, produced the famous War Exchange Conservation Act, the WECA Act, on the 6th of December, 1940, about a year after they joined up with the war. And this act prevented certain things from entering the country from the United States, such as comic books and pulps and so on. So all of a sudden, after this act was enacted, comic books from the United States disappeared from Canada. And certain people took advantage of this and started to produce these comics. Canada this time, here's an Ernie Walker map produced by one of those Canadian comic books, and it presented an image of what Canada was. At that time, we didn't have a map of Canada that was based on, or actually a any sort of the flag wasn't
Maple Leaf.
Designed until 1965. It was actually the
Red Ensign.
Union Jack.
Yes. Yeah.
Red Ensign.
Red Ensign.
No, it wasn't even Red Ensign. It was Union Jack at the time.
It was Union Jack.
And then two comic companies came up with good comic books at the time. One in Vancouver, which was Maple Leaf Comics, and they produced better comics. It was one of the first comics. And in Toronto, AA Comics, Anglo-American Comics, produced Robin Hood Comics. Both these copies here are actually Stephen's copies. And nobody's actually seen a copy of Robin Hood number one. This is number two that belongs to Stephen. Robin Hood number one was a sort of a Sunday comics, newspaper comic type, which was larger than usual, and it was a reprint, just as number two. So these are the very first two types of comics that were Canadian comics by these two companies. There's Better Comics number one, the first Iron Man, and Robin Hood Comics number two. At the same time, there were four reprint comics that Anglo-American put together. Reprint of Fox comic books that somehow managed to get away from the government and was allowed to print these comics, which are just reprints of Canadian, of American comics. And they only printed one copy of each one. The one company that was one of these first ones to do anything in Canadian comics was Maple Leaf Comics, which produced Better Comics and Lucky Comics early on. And the main impetus of this comic was Vernon Miller, who invented Iron Man himself.
A different kind of Iron Man when you're thinking of him. Get excited.
He was an awesome buff, blonde swimmer dude who lived in a bubble city under the sea. He threw tanks around and wrestled swordfish.
And his stories were actually in color for the first few issues, and not in black and white as all the AA comics. AA comics, the main artist of the time was Ed Furness, and he produced Robin Hood comics and Freelance comics. There's Ed himself. And then in the middle. Sorry,
may I jump in? For AA, you should also mention Ted McCall.
Yeah, Ted McCall.
Who was the writer, and he wrote several Canadian comic strips that were the first basis of the reprints for AA, Robin Hood and Company, and Men of the Mountain. So first, those books were designed to reprint those, and then he continued their adventures and created a bunch of other characters. So he was the head writer.
And if I could piggyback on what Robert was saying, the very early Robin Hood comics were actually reprints of the syndicated strip that Ted McCall did,
yes,
in conjunction with Ed Furness, up to issue 8.
Thank you, guys.
You guys are so awesome to me. Like, can I just say right now how much I truly value and appreciate you guys? You're so cool. No, I'm honestly so glad that you guys exist.
Thank you. And that's coming from one of the coolest people in the room.
Wow.
So between the hive mind, we plan to make sure that every one of you knows everything.
Every piece of my
shop.
I will bend them backwards to make sure you guys know. I
won't bend.
Okay, let's let Ivan get back to
this. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Carry on.
The next company and next artist to produce things was in the summer of 1941. And he produced Triumph Comics, which is one of the key issues. And recently, I think Stephen just picked one copy up of Triumph number one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the very first Nelvana issue that was produced. And the artist who produced these is Adrian Dingle. What's the name of the company now?
Hillbrow Studios.
Hillbrow Studio, yes.
Thank you.
And there is Triumph Comics. And there's the first splash place.
Isn't that gorgeous? Like, just look at that art. Can you believe anything existed like that in the 1940s? Have you seen Wonder Woman cartoons? They're horrible. Don't you want to see that? Yeah. Don't you want to read that comic?
Now, the first few issues of Triumph was Adrian Dingle and his painter friends, who are like, and so they are so rich in style and how they move the ink around. They are really gorgeous comics from very idiosyncratic but really talented artists.
And there is Adrian Dingle. And what's so neat about Adrian Dingle and many of the artists from this period?
Disappeared. There he is.
The pipe sells it. That's how cool he is.
Yeah,
it's the pipe.
Yeah, he's photos in like he's like he always
it's like that. Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing about him is that he was always a fine artist and a painter. And if you look at the history of these artists who started off in many of these Canadian comics, at least 15 or 20 of them became fine artists. And they should be remembered for what they did as well. In fact, a lot of them complain about it. I talked to many of them, and to the children of many of them, and they're sort of feeling negative about the fact that people just think of them as Canadian comic artists rather than the fine arts they did become throughout the rest of their careers.
And they were all people. Like, I've heard stories of some of the artists, you know, Adrian Dingle was an overworked editor at Triumph Comics, really trying to move stuff through. And I've talked to artists who talk about going to his house and his wife, like, pot stuff piled on the dinner table and then kind of move half of it over to have room to go over the art. And while she's holding a baby and Adrian is dealing with the kids and going over that. So these are real committed people, you know, living their lives and really trying to bring something extra to what they do.
Now, the next significant publisher was Commercial Science, which produced the first full-color comic. And the main person behind this was Cy Bell, the main publisher. And this was done in September of 1941. And the thing about WOW Comics is that it was really the first issue which was completely colored from beginning to end. And Cy Bell was probably the one publisher that produced the greatest number of comic books from this title, all the way up to the end of 1946. 1 year after this was the next company. And this was one company which started in Montreal. And it was Educational Projects. And one of the main artists was George M. Reid, who's noted for another hero. There's number one of Canadian Heroes. That was a comic they put out, the main one. It was more of a classic comic with true-to-life stories and historical features. What is important about Canadian Heroes is this Canada Jack, which George Mendes put together himself. And he's another one, artist. But not just a comic book artist, but a fine artist and a painter.
I could just shortly mention, Canada Jack was different than the other superheroes. Unlike Johnny Canuck, who was not endowed with superpowers, but rather was an athlete, he also fought on the home front, as opposed to smashing the Axis abroad. Canada Jack was fastened after the artist, the actual Jay Halpern, who was a publisher. He wanted to have a hero that children could identify with. Hence, the Canada Jack Club started, and children would do things for the war effort. He wasn't larger than life. He was an athlete. He was a gymnast, and he fought saboteurs in the fifth column on the home front. That's just, as opposed to Nitro, or other characters who were endowed with superpowers, like Delvanna could fly on the Aurora Borealis.
It was a very parents and family-oriented company, so they had a lot of things like a regular feature was Judge Godwin Presents, where a judge would talk to the kids about a possible career. So George M. Reid was able to convince them, let's get a little bit more exciting. So they had supposedly true stories from the Files of the Mounties that they would draw, and Canada Jack was the other action feature.